This episode is brought to you by Ursa Minor Outfitters. Folks, I'm absolutely in love with my Loon mug. It's handmade. It's an absolute piece of art. Whether it's at the office or at the house, people keep asking to check it out. If you're not a Loon fan, they also have other beautiful mugs for wildlife fans of moose, bears, and eagles. They specialize in products highlighting the outdoors and local pride through quality design by local artists. They've even started expanding into items beyond mugs, like apparel, dog accessories, and soon candles and more. They also try to partner and highlight other small businesses, and in some cases, forgo profits in lieu of charitable giving to help their community, such as the dog rescue. So check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for our four-legged hiking partners, they also have a portable silicone dog bowl and also a sweet over-the-collar dog bandana. Go check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and don't forget to enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Welcome everyone to the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm your host Ivan, and together we'll embark on a weekly journey connecting with extraordinary hikers from all corners of the U.S. and beyond. Throughout these winter months, we've had the privilege of conversing with some remarkable individuals this season. Their experiences and adventures will leave you yearning to hit the trails. In this week's episode, we speak with an incredible individual from California's Central Valley. Her name is Nicole, and you can follow her on Instagram at OutboundBlondie. Nicole shares with us what it was like growing up on Bainbridge Island in Washington's Puget Sound, her inspirational journey of getting back into the outdoors and fitness, as well as some of her favorite local hikes in California's Central Valley. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode with our guest, Nicole. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm really excited to have Nicole with us on the podcast today. She's going to be sharing a little bit about what the Central Valley of California has to offer for outdoor experiences. Nicole, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. We always like to start off by asking our guests how long they've been hiking for and how they got started.
Hi, yeah, sure. Thank you for having me. So I actually started about 23 years ago. I grew up on a tiny island, and to get to my best friend's house, I had to hike some terrain to get to her house. And it was about 7 miles that I would hike on the island of Bainbridge Island to visit her. That kind of started my adventures in the woods. And traveling Bainbridge Island and hiking the Grand Forest.
I feel like the Puget Sound islands are so unique when it comes to their trail systems, because there's not a bad view at any point because you're surrounded by water. Is there any favorite viewpoints that you liked in and around Bainbridge Island?
I do. So I grew up on Pleasant Beach Drive, right on the water. And we used to just sit there and watch the Bremerton ferry boat go from, you know, the island from Bremerton over to, I think it's Seattle that it goes through on that inlet. And I really, really liked that view, just sitting there and growing up being able to see that. We also got to see when the Nimitz went out. So we've been able to see a lot of things. We had a lot of animals, eagles and stuff that we got to see raised. And it was very unique being able to witness that stuff as a child.
Yeah, Bainbridge is one of my favorite islands to visit, especially when you get a chance to take the ferries over. So how was it switching, Nicole, from, you know, that rainforest-like feel of Western Washington, the Central Valley of California, where it's a little bit more drier, but you do have some great forests and lakes all around you? How was the transition between those two different landscapes?
I moved Bainbridge Island down to Monterey first.
Okay.
So I kind of got acclimated to the different weather. It was warmer. You know, obviously Washington is very cool compared to California. So I kind of got acclimated there. And then I got married and had a child there. And then we moved over to the Central Coast because my husband got transferred here for work. And it took me, I would say, about 3 years really being out in the heat and figuring out when you really don't go outside in the heat here. It took me a bit to figure it out because, like you know, with Washington State, it rains, I'll even say 365 days a year. It's dense terrain. Everything is very dense there. And here it's bare and dries out. It starts drying out in August time. It gets very, very dry. So it was about 3 years of trying to adjust to that acclimation for sure.
How would you describe the hiking trails and outdoor scene in and around your current neck of the woods?
I have got over 750 hiking trails right here within 20 minutes of driving.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm in Clovis, California, which is 30 minutes from the Sierras, Sequoia National Park, Kings, Mammoth Lakes. I mean, even Yosemite, it takes maybe 2 hours to get to Yosemite, Vernal Falls. So I have everything real close here.
Do you have any favorite trails that you like to hit up?
I do. I actually lead a hiking group and I take them on different hikes here in the Central Coast, over on the Central Coast in the Central Valley. And I would say the best one, I took 19 girls up to Tecopa Falls. The falls comes down, you get lightly sprayed, the temperature is perfect, the animals that are just flocking throughout, you get to see all kinds of little chipmunks that come up to you. It is just another scene going up there. I just love it. One of my favorites.
You kind of touched base on it. You're in a great centrally located area where you can really just, you know, choose a direction and be able to hit some recreational areas. Do you have a favorite weekend getaway for outdoor adventures?
Up in the Central Valley, I really like to hit the Kings. Actually, Sequoia National Park and Kings. They got the Grant Village up there and you can go and hike. You can hike 15 miles, you can hike 1 mile. It's very hard, moderate, and easy. There's so much within a small capacity that you could do. And they have everything in the Kings Canyon National Forest. They have guided trails that you can walk on, and then you can go off trekking too, off path. And that's usually what I do with my dog. I'm not usually on the trail. We create our own some of the time. So it's kind of different. I mean, there's so much for everybody. Beginners to people that really want to go up and summit. Yeah, there's a lot of different things that you could do for sure.
It's wonderful that you've been able to guide and enjoy the outdoors together. How did that kind of come about?
So I got into, maybe I should go back. I had brain surgery right before COVID and I could not do anything. They told me I couldn't lift weights. I couldn't hike. I basically could not do anything. It took me about 2 years to even work up to even doing like yoga stretching. And I started doing yoga and the doctor's like, yeah, that's fine, but we don't want you hiking, stress your brain, and too much hypertension with going up into the hills can cause a herniation again. And so I'm very nervous about it. And I backed off from everything I loved for quite some time. And I was watching a show and I just saw this girl that was suffering with my same condition. It's called Chiari malformation, where your brain herniates down onto your spinal canal. Mine was caused as of a car accident. But I was watching this girl that said that she started getting back into with yoga and lifting weights and hiking. And I'm like, I'm just going to get out there and start doing it again. So I started just taking small steps, going a mile and then coming back. I would go up to 8,000 feet, come back and do that multiple times to see the intracranial hypertension that was going on in my brain, just to see how my brain would adjust to it. And I've trained myself now to a point where I can get up to the 10,000 elevation and still be able to really know what's going on. And I'm back to normal now. So it's been a slow process, but that one show that I watched was just set a fire inside of me to get going and do it again. And I basically was told through the doctors that I could not do this. I was not allowed to lift more than 10 pounds. I definitely could not hike. I could not do any of these things. And I just told myself I was not going to let them dictate what I was doing with my life. And I started hiking farther and farther, and my body's just been getting healthier and healthier. And they're like, we have no idea how you're doing this. My doctors say that it's just totally strange that with the condition that I have, that I am able to do what I'm doing. So I just feel blessed. I feel really, really blessed.
Yeah, you've been able to see and hike some incredible places over the last year or two. And it seems like you're slowly being able to increase the distances, the summits.
My intensity and drive is just keeps getting stronger each time I go.
You know, I'm always curious, especially in Central California, what's the fall hiking season like? And do you have some fall colors in and around your neck of the woods?
Yes. Yeah, so fall is so gorgeous. The colors here go from majestic yellows and oranges and pinks and maroons and deep maroons. And what's so cool is that the flowers are, they're always blooming. You know, so you get some of these different flowers coming up. It is just absolutely gorgeous with the different colors that come through during that time, all the way until I would say about February. And then in February, it starts to get luscious green. Green hills, everything starts to just pop again. So it kind of goes for maybe a couple of months, it will be nothing and bare. You know, and not green. There's not really much. And then it will go back. So there's like a couple of months there that it gets kind of just bland. But other than that, it is year round gorgeous. The colors are gorgeous here.
And, you know, this episode, Nicole, is going to be coming out at the tail end of winter, but we're recording it really at the start of your winter. How's the winter been so far in and around your neck of the woods?
It has been very mild so far. This year, we have not had as much rain, I feel, as we had the previous year, but we're just getting started. I would say that in February, after it has really come down, Blue Oak Trail, which is up in Millerton Lake, it is so lush and green by February. It is one of my favorite trails to go out on because everything just is the greenest of green. All of the lakes are filled up because obviously they, during the summertime, I mean, we use a lot of the water here because we have water issues, but there it's full and just beautiful to hike around these lakes around here. Out of this world. Beautiful.
It's going to be hard to compare any upcoming winters to the beginning months of 2023, where you guys experienced some record level snow fields and snow up in the Sierras. How was it for you in 2023 being able to access some of those higher destinations that still had snow? I feel like all the way through August, if not September.
Yeah. So I feel like, I feel like we had snow all the way up in through March. I was hiking up Shaver Lake and we were still getting downfall all the way up through March, which was very, very strange. And I actually liked it. It brings the cooler weather. I just can get out in it more with it being cooler because you can't hike in the 100-degree weather during the summertime here. You got to go to the coast or somewhere else, you know? So I really enjoy this time of year the most because of the snow, the rain. It is not like freezing. You can still go up in just a jacket and hike around. I mean, it is so beautiful. But yeah, last year's the 2023 snow year, I was trekking in the snow all the way through March, I think, maybe even April. Actually, it was the beginning of April that we still had snow going on up at Shaver and up a little bit further into Huntington Lake.
And those are typically clear by the springtime, right?
Oh, definitely by April. Yeah. For sure.
Wow. Now, one thing that comes up on your Instagram feed frequently is different types of bodies of water, whether it's the lakes, some majestic waterfalls up in the Sierras, or even the beautiful Californian coast. What are some of your favorite water destinations, whether it's the coast, waterfalls, or lakes?
So, you know, as growing up on an island, that I am a water girl. So the waterfalls that I get to that I've really enjoyed is Corleo Falls, Red Rock Falls, which is the Lewis Creek National Scenic Trail. And they also have Indian Pools Trail that is over here in the Central Valley area. And then when I go over to the coast in Monterey and in Cambria, Pismo, all the way down to Newport, I basically like to surf fish. I will surf fish for stripers up and down the coast. And so that is one of my favorite things to do there.
Now, Nicole, you mentioned, you know, you have the national parks nearby, but then you also have some beautiful national forests. What has been your experiences visiting the nearby national parks or the national forests?
So I go up into them weekly since I live so close here in Clovis. I do hit the Sequoias and the Kings a lot of the time. In the Kings Canyon National Park, there's Ella Falls Loop, and that is an absolutely stunning, gorgeous hike year-round that you can get to. And that is about an 8-mile I want to say about an 8 mile hike.
In that area, Nicole, I imagine Sequoia gets more of the crowds, but do you see crowds in and around the National Forest or even Kings Canyon? Because I hear like Kings Canyon is gorgeous and it has beautiful views that rival the other national parks, but it just doesn't have the crowds that you see at some of the other ones.
Yeah, so there are big crowds. My biggest suggestion is to get there very early in the morning and hike early in the mornings. Anytime after, I want to say, if you arrive after 8 or 9 o'clock up there, you're going to be with the crowds in the Sequoia and Kings. If you go off trail, you don't see anybody most of the time. And the larger trails, if you go, I want to say over 6 miles, you'll get more of real serious hikers and not just like the day, just want to walk up. Like you get people that have been backpacking and hiking for even 3 days. I ran into a guy that was out there that had been there for 3 days hiking, just making his own trails and stuff. So it really, really depends the time that you go, the time of day, the time of year, and where you go. So if you go off of all trails and pick a trail off of there and you go at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning during more of the summertime, it's going to be packed.
Outside of hiking, Nicole, and you've touched on this a little already, but fitness is something that you're also passionate about. And you're also a really great photographer. Can you share a little bit about your personal fitness journey over the last few years, as well as your photography journey?
Of course. So I started bodybuilding back in 2004. They're called figure competition bodybuilding. And I started there. I worked at a gym, Gold's Gym, on Aurora Avenue in Seattle, wet northern Seattle. It helped me as a person, my mental health. I just loved everything about it. And that's really where it started. And I've competed in, I want to say, gosh, over 15 shows now from then up until my brain surgery. I competed right before my brain surgery. That was the last of it. My last show was in 2017. So I've been bodybuilding and into fitness for an extremely long time. It is a huge passion to my soul. I actually just got into photography a year ago, Christmas. My neurosurgeon said that I will start having memory issues and that I should pick up a camera to be taking photos of stuff to remember. And it has turned into a complete passion of mine for fitness, for landscape, just even for the community that I have around me, for building up the men and women, you know, that want photos of themselves, their progress, and their hiking. They've made it to this destination. It's full force, 100% a love of mine now because of that. And now I not only have these experiences, but I will always remember them if my memory does continue to decline.
Now, one thing that, at least here in the Pacific Northwest, I struggle with, Nicole, is you kind of lose out on some of the higher elevation hikes during the winter months. It's because it's closed or there's just a lot of snow where you need snowshoes. But have you been able to tailor out some workouts that help you with hiking? And if you have, can you share some tips or workouts that folks like me can do starting right now to prepare for the spring hiking season?
Yeah, I would for sure get into the gym and start building up your cardiovascular health. They have got stair stepper, which that is basically what you are doing when you're out hiking. I would continually do that on different levels to try and basically hit your cardiovascular levels at, you know, from your lower consistencies to your higher, depending on your ranges of hiking that you actually do. I would definitely suggest the Stairmaster stair climber. And then quadding, building up your lower legs, lunges, making sure that you're stretching. I will not stress that enough, is stretching your lower body. I mean, your entire body, but building up your lower body is, and your cardiovascular health is the most important thing for it. And I would definitely suggest the stair climber.
Yeah, that's definitely the one that has me intrigued, not just for hiking, but for backpacking. And one of my previous guests has suggested, and this is what she did, is that she took her backpacking pack, filled it with a couple bags of flour, and then just did the Stairmaster to kind of mimic.
I agree. Yes. Yep. 100%. And then do it at different levels so that your heart gets really beating hard and then back off. Just, it's basically like you're going to be hiking the terrain. You want that exact same feeling and you want to build up so that your heart can go through all of it and you're not getting exhausted and you can keep up with where you're going. A lot of people, they don't do that and they don't stretch. They don't work out or nothing. And then they hit the trail and they realize, oh, shoot. This next week, I'm sore from not doing anything, you know, and being consistent with it over and over to be able to, I think, get out there and continually do it.
No, that's a solid tip. And yeah, that's one thing I didn't even think about is adjusting the Stairmaster rather than just setting it at one speed and trying to keep up, but try to mimic the terrain that you're going to be doing is a solid tip. One of our regular segments here on the podcast is doing a deep dive into our guests' Instagram feed and then asking them about a picture that catches our attention. The one that caught my attention on your feed was Big Table Mountain, because not only is it a great overlook, but it also has some great wildflowers that you've been able to share. Can you share a little bit about your experiences visiting and hiking this ecological reserve area?
Yeah, for sure. So this hike has meant a lot to me, because this was my first 8-mile hike back after brain surgery that I accomplished and got to it. I lived very close to that mountain and I would look at it when I was, after I had brain surgery and couldn't walk. And I said, you know what, someday I'm going to conquer that mountain. I'm going to hike that mountain. And I didn't ever realize that I could actually do it. And it was like, you know what, let's try it. You've been able to walk these other terrains. Let's try and get up to Big Table Mountain. And so I set out a task of getting up there. And it was about an 8-mile hike up to the top. And it is absolutely gorgeous with flowers coming out of where the little lava trails went. I can't remember the actual name of them.
Oh, basalt columns.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, that is what it is up there. And you can even find the lava that's up there. They have chunks of it just all over the place after you get up there. And then once you get out over into the view, I mean, it is flat. And you can look out over into Millerton Lake and you can see from the tip of the lake all the way out past the entire lake, almost to the dam. So you can see everything up there. And it is flatter than flat. It's not like when you're hiking up there, it is a lot of uphill. But once you get up there, it is completely flat with tons of flower. Yeah, tons and tons of flowers. The wildflowers really bloom up there in April. So that is the best time to go so that you can see the wildflowers that really, really flourish here during that time of the year.
And you have a really great shot where you're panning across the wildflower fields and it's just so vast, so abundant. And then, you know, talking about getting up there, I feel like a lot of hikers, especially day hikers, have a regular summit routine, or maybe it's an end of the hike routine. You know, for some, it's maybe packing their favorite snack. And, you know, for some, it's having a moment of zen. And then for a lot of us, it's making sure that we have a good meal afterwards. Do you have a regular customer routine that you do when you reach your destination, or maybe when you make it back out?
Yeah, this kind of goes very personal, because I believe that every mountain that I go up is I'm conquering a part of myself. So each time that I go up, I feel like once I get to that destination, I've conquered something. Whether it be like, oh, I can't make it, my mind, the battles, trying to get up there or whatever, I feel like I've conquered something with inside myself. And it's like, I did this, you know, like it's an accomplishment that you really, really, really did and fulfill doing it. I'm not one into eating or excited about that. I'm more about the view, and I did this. I accomplished it. That's my biggest thing. Yeah.
You know, throughout your hiking experiences, have you ever had any close calls, whether it's Mother Nature catching you by surprise with a storm rolling in, or an unexpected wildlife encounter, or maybe just getting a little turned around on the trail?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I got some stories. Yeah. So right after I had my brain surgery, it took me a little bit. It was at the back of my brain. So it's where your cerebral tonsils are at, which coordinate your balance. And I've had some balance issues. So I'm out on the trail and will fall uphill. So that is probably the most that I have battled. And I've ran into some wildlife, but bring my dog with me and I'm very well protected and I make a lot of noise and stuff. So it's not, I wouldn't say close encounters, but gotten very close to some bears and some deer and some marmot. But other than that, between my balance coordination and falling myself, twisting an ankle, to the little scariness with wildlife, that's about it.
And, you know, you mentioned you take one of your dogs with you on the trails. When it comes to your pack list, do you have a luxury item?
Is it? Yes. She is what I bring with me every time hiking. She is into tracking and hunting. She is a protection dog as well. She's a Belgian Malinois. They're very highly intelligent and high drive. And I bring her on the trail every time with me. She will tell me when, Mom, your heart's not beating right. You're not looking like, when I'm not feeling right, she picks up on it. Will literally like start panting and encircling me. And then if she sees an animal that I don't see, because she's onto it miles in advance before I even pick up on an animal that's out there. So she's always telling me, hey, we got wildlife here. We've got hogs over here. We've got marmots over here. So she's always telling me what's going on in my atmosphere around me. And she's like, she's my guide dog. She guides me through the terrain, my best friend.
I love it. When we're recording this, we're literally at the tail end of 2023. For the upcoming year, for 2024, do you have any hiking or travel goals that you have set?
Yeah, we are going to be going to Okinawa, Japan. My husband is actually Japanese, and we're going to go visit some of his family that's there. And there's a little fishing town that we are going to go and hike, and we're going to go out and fish with some of the local community that's there. So we're very, very excited about that for 2024 for sure.
When it comes to hiking in the Central Valley or just in California in general, do you have any landmarks or locations picked out?
I have a list definitely that I could go off of, but I would want to say that what I want to see the most here in the Central Valley that I have not seen yet is a place called Treasure Island, which is Laguna Beach, that I want to see this year coming up. And there's Glass Beach, which is over in between Cambria and like Pismo area, I believe. I'm not really sure. And then there's the Lost Coast, Crater Lake. So there's kind of a bunch of different in between here and Oregon that I want to go to, but more mostly in California are those that I mentioned. Point Reyes, California.
Oh, yeah.
There's Muir Beach that I want to see. I think that there are a lot of the coasts that I want to trek. I think more because I live right here in the Central Valley and I have a lot of the summits and I can do all of that. I want to travel more towards the coast. Big Sur is one that I really would like to camp at more. You know, Pfeiffer Beach over there is something I really, really want to do this next year more.
Looking forward to seeing, you know, the pictures from your trips up and down the West Coast. And the one that continuously comes up, Nicole, that I really need to move up in my hiking list is Point Reyes. Just because a lot of people are saying, like, that place has such an abundance of trails and just different variety of trails. Yeah, I think I might have to move that up in my hiking bucket list.
Yeah, for sure you should. I haven't been. That's why I want to go in 2024. But the views, I guess, are breathtaking. Like, you get butterflies being out there and being able to see all the coast and, I mean, the terrain and everything. There is actually another place that I do want to go back and hike that I haven't been to since, I want to say, 2011. And that's a Garapata Park, which is over in Monterey area. That is definitely where I would like to go back and hike for sure.
Sounds like 2024 is going to be a great year for hiking and traveling for you. Looking forward to seeing the pictures from them.
Yes, it's going to be so fun.
Now, Nicole, that was it for the regular questions. This last portion of the podcast is a this or that. Questions, 10 questions, and you just choose the one that you personally prefer out of the two. But the first one is, when it comes to hiking, do you prefer a steep incline or a steep decline?
Incline.
This one's a trail system question, but when you do have an incline, switchbacks or just straight up?
Switchback.
And then on your hikes, do you regularly use trekking poles or do you prefer being freehand?
Freehand, for sure.
And when it comes to your footwear, do you rock trail runners or do you prefer hiking boots?
I actually do both, and it depends on the terrain that I'm hiking. I love to use trail runners for less than 8 miles, and I'm not hiking up into a summit where there's going to be a lot of rocks and boulders and stuff. If I am up in rocks and boulders, I am putting on some hiking boots. I'm just afraid of twisting my ankle with the terrain.
Now, this next one, Nicole, is another trail system question. But when it comes to trails, do you prefer a loop trail or an out and back trail?
Both. Yeah, I like both.
And then I think I know the response to this one, but when you do come across a body of water, whether it's a lake, the beach, or even a waterfall, do you touch the water or do you prefer to stay dry?
Both. It really depends. If it is fresh water and hasn't been standing for long periods of time, I will touch it. If it has been standing for long periods of time, I will not. I will just watch it from the distance.
It starts getting hard after this one, Nicole, but sunset hikes or sunrise hikes?
So I love both of them, but I am an extremely early riser, so sunrise is usually what I catch the most of. I'm hoping in 2024 to catch some more sunsets for sure.
And then another equally tough one, but spring wildflowers or fall colors?
I would probably say spring. Flowers is my jam. I'm completely covered in tattoos with flowers, so it's definitely the love of my life.
And then the last one is outside of the national park system. Do you prefer visiting national forests or state parks?
I would say national.
National forest?
Yeah, I do.
Well, that was it, Nicole, for the this or that questions. Really appreciate you coming on the podcast. For folks that are interested in following your journey in 2024, what are some of the handles on social media that they can follow you on?
Yeah, so for my hikes and more personal, you want to get to know me, you can follow me at Outbound Blondie. My photography page is Primal Shot Photography. That will be events that we go on, hikes from fitness, all of that that you can follow there. And then for my personal training, nutrition, fitness, bodybuilding page, you can follow More Than Fitness with Nicole.
And Nicole, you also were working on a website.
Yeah, it's live right now. It's More Than Fitness with Nicole. And I'm just getting started back into, I've been a personal trainer and nutritionist for 20 years. And I'm getting back into that and helping more people with that. And so it is live right now. I have just basic stuff that you guys can go and check out. More Than Fitness with Nicole. Ask me any questions. I give out free information all the time to help you. I am loving being a part of the community and helping others grow. So any questions you have, come ask me. I can help you out with anything.
Well, thank you, Nicole, once again for joining us on the podcast. It's been awesome talking to you.
Thank you for having me, Ivan. I loved it. This is so awesome. I appreciate it.
And that brings us to the end of this episode alongside Nicole. We extend a heartfelt thanks to her for coming on the podcast. Make sure to stay connected and follow her upcoming adventures on Instagram at Outbound Blondie. And don't forget to check out the episode show notes to learn more about her other fitness and photography profiles. We have an incredible lineup of episodes planned throughout the winter months, and we can't wait to share them with you. New episodes will be dropping every Monday with occasional bonus episodes on Fridays. To ensure you never miss out on those thrilling tales, remember to hit that like and subscribe button. Your support means the world to us. Don't forget to join our vibrant community on Instagram at Hikes and Mikes. We'll be sharing episode visuals, my own personal hiking content, and so much more. Let's stay connected and continue to inspire each other on this remarkable journey. As we bid farewell, remember to tread those happy trails, embrace the great outdoors, and keep the spirit of adventure alive. Until next time, my fellow explorers, happy hiking. This episode's music was created by Ketsa. Follow him on Instagram at Ketsa Music. This episode is brought to you by Flip Socks. Whether you're on the trail, on the job, or in the yard, Flip Socks will keep Mother Nature out of your boots with their innovative nylon sleeve. You no longer need to worry about any annoying debris getting trapped in your boots during your hikes. Simply flip down the nylon sleeve over any boot to prevent Mother Nature from finding its way inside, keeping your feet comfortable all day long. To get your first pair, visit flipsockswithaz.com and enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for listeners who use the promo code at checkout, I'll be donating 100% of the Season 2 promo code proceeds to Big City Mountaineers, who provide transformative experiences through connections to nature that strengthen life skills and build community for youth and disinvested communities across the nation. So if you're tired of bits and pieces of the trail finding its way into your hiking boots, pick up a pair of flip socks today with the promo code HikesMikes10 to get 10% off. For website and promo code, see the episode description.